Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship with us, we are so glad that you are here. And one of the ways you can learn about how we are church together through your bulletin, there are plenty of announcements and a calendar. If you have any questions, ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship. So this morning we have the opportunity to celebrate Stewardship Sunday. And if you have your pledge cards with you and filled out during the offering, just place them in the offering plate. And if you forgot, that's okay. There will be more pledge cards available at the doors, and you can always just mail them in or drop them in the office next Sunday or sometime this week. And a note about other things going on in the life of the church. For those of you who are engaging in the food stamp challenge, today's our first day, and I hope you're finding it to be a meaningful experience. If you aren't quite sure if you were going to do it, it's okay. You can start middle, end of today, even tomorrow. More resources out on the table outside of the sanctuary. And next Sunday, we'll all gather together and talk about our many different experiences. And also, next Sunday, Lifetime Care will be offering a service of remembrance for anyone who has lost someone whom they loved and need a quiet and sacred space to remember them during this difficult holiday season. We will be having a service here in the sanctuary at 2:00. And Lifetime Care, they will be the ones who are leading that service, but I wanted to make sure you all knew that it was available to you as well. Okay?
Good morning. All right, Saturday's the day. I want to thank everybody who has signed up so far to help provide everything and anything. I really appreciate it. We still need some help on Friday night and on Saturday night, especially on Saturday night. The more people we have to put things back and to get everything ready for Sunday, the faster it will go for all of us. If you can't move furniture, I got sweeping of the floors, I got vacuuming of the rugs, I got putting hangers back, I've got taking tape off the floors. I've got all sorts of things that people can do. However long you can do it would be great. If you're going to bring in baked foods, if you could start bringing them in Friday, we'll put them in the kitchen. Helen has to price them and everything, and so putting them in the kitchen is better than putting them on the table in the hallway. I look forward to this weekend. It's great. I can't tell you how many people we've had call this last week, and I'm sure this week we'll have more. More people want to join in our crafting tables, and we don't have the room, so we put them off till next year, which the ladies will have for next year. So come join us on Saturday. Have a wonderful time. Shop. Help. Thank you so much.
Katie.
Got a few announcements today. So starting with this morning, the Sunday school classes are going to have an activity in the Fusion Room. And so parents, pick up your kids from Sunday school in the Fusion Room, not in the normal Sunday school rooms, because they will not be there. Then youth group is going to be tonight from 6 to 8. Senior highs will be having a bunco tournament. Junior highs will be playing games. There will definitely be a pinata. I heard a rumor there was two. And then also, Advent is coming up, and so it's time to get ready for our family Advent festival. It's going to be the first Friday of Advent, which is December 5th this year, from 6 to 7:30. So we'll have a meal together, we'll make lots of crafts to get us ready for the Advent season, and then we'll all share family-friendly worship. So if you are coming, please sign up on the kiosk out there so we know how much pizza to get and how many cookies to make. Thank you.
And one final announcement. I know some folks were looking forward to hearing about John, our organist, and his day job with quilting, but we have postponed that event, so be looking in your harbingers and bulletins sometime in January. We'll hear more about that, so we look forward to it. And now let us join our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Stand and join me in the call to worship. There is joy here.
A joy that greets and grows and holds and challenges and keeps.
There is joy here.
A joy that surrounds and brings and delivers and gives.
The joy guides our faltering feet. May our lives give thanks
as we worship God, follow Jesus, and love our neighbors.
Oh,
As we gather and give thanks for the many blessings in which God has trusted us with, God also recognizes we come as broken people. Let us take that brokenness to God as we share together in our prayer of confession. There is joy here, empowered by your Spirit. We celebrate the abundance of your grace in our lives. We confess it doesn't always guide us. Our lives often speak of something different, of lack, of fear, of dread. Entrusted with all your gifts, we struggle with what we are supposed to do and who we are supposed to be. Have mercy on us, God, and once again open our eyes to your kingdom in our midst. Help us discover that your day of hope and grace has already come in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is the good news. God intends for us to find life, to embrace hope, to receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, we are forgiven. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. So first off, I have an announcement to make. The Sunday school teachers corrected me. Only grades 2 through 6 go to Fusion Room. So everybody else stays in your classrooms and you get to do Sunday school with your grades, okay? Sound all right? All right. So I need 4 volunteers today. 4 people. All right, 1, 2, 3. 1 more. 4. All right, come on up. All right, so I want you guys to do a building contest, okay? I've got these blocks, so I'm going to give each of you some blocks, and I want you to make the tallest tower you can possibly make, okay? Everybody ready? Here, how about you guys scoot back a little bit so other people can see you build, okay? All right. So when I say go, I want you to build the tallest tower you can, okay? Go! Okay, lift them up high so people can see it, okay? All right, what do you guys think? Who won? Oh, well, if you lift it up higher, it's taller. Okay, that's good, that's good. Okay, so, all right, now put them down. Now let's try something else. I want you guys to work together and build the tallest tower you can when you're sharing, okay? Are you ready? Go! All right, lift it up, lift it up. Better, right? Looking good? Check that out. Looks kind of like a duck, I think. All right. A little bit. Okay. All right. So that's something that can help us see a little bit more that when we share what we have, we can do better things, right? When you share what you've got, you can do something bigger and more exciting. And not all of us have blocks. We all have different stuff, right? Maybe you're really, really good at reading. Who's good at reading? Yeah, so many people. What about good at making people feel happy when they're sad? Who's good at that? All right, this is a really talented group. And these are all things that you can share with the church too, right? So go ahead and share all the things that make you special and use it to help people to feel better and to help the church. All right. Oh, okay. We're done with the tower.
Yeah, it was. Tower is totally not stable.
No, it's not stable. But it was still very tall. It was pretty good. All right, we can fix it later. All right, so let's go ahead and pray together, okay? Dear God, thank you for the gifts you give us. Help us to share and make big things to help you. Amen. All right, time to go to Sunday school.
First reading of the word today comes from Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When they say, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and there will be no escape. But you, beloved, are not in darkness for that day to surprise you like a thief, for you are all children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. So then let us not fall asleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who are drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober and put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation.
Our second reading for the morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, "For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one, he gave 5 talents, to another, 2, and to another, 1, to each according to his ability. And then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more and saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. And his master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I made 2 more. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You've been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked, you lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested the money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him, give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given. They will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. And as for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Well, in case you overlooked the reminders in the bulletin over the last few weeks, or the newsletter, or the announcements about today being our opportunity to celebrate Stewardship Sunday, I'm going to guess that that gospel lesson provided you a pretty good clue. The Bible is full of stories of a generous God who blesses creation with abundance. And these stories invite and challenge us with joy and thanksgiving to consider all the ways we are stewards of those resources and dedicate a portion of them back to God. Now, depending on the church community that you grew up with and the preacher who stood in the pulpit delivering those messages, there might have been a few variations to that theme. And the parable we read this morning probably sounded familiar on a Sunday like this. And you may have heard it summed up like this. Don't bury the talents God has given you. Invest in the work of the church and God's ministry by giving it back to God through your pledge. And you will experience the joy God intends for your life. A little bit of a simplistic interpretation. But does that sound pretty familiar? Does it? A little bit? I'm seeing some heads nod. I hope so, because, you know, I've preached that sermon more than once. But here's what we're going to do this morning. I'm going to invite you to set that interpretation aside for a moment. Don't throw it out completely. Because Jesus uses parables like the one we just read as a way for all of his followers, including his disciples, to look around at what's familiar to them, to learn about the kingdom of God. And depending on who you are and your experience and where you are looking, we may see the kingdom in a variety of ways. And so the first interpretation I offered may be familiar and comfortable, but I'm going to challenge us this morning to look beyond our own lives and to consider how we might hear this parable differently, depending on where a person might hear it from. And also to consider that as we follow Jesus, it also means that our resources, our finances, our time, our abilities follow where we believe he goes. So let's back up and start with thinking about the perspective of the disciples, that first community who hears Jesus' teaching, and where they are hearing the parable from. So this section of Matthew's gospel occurs during the week leading up to Jesus' death. A few days ago, Jesus entered Jerusalem, greeted by the palm-waving crowds. And then he went on to drive the money changers out of the temple, and his authority is questioned by the scribes and Pharisees. On his way out of town with his disciples, they're heading to the home of Simon in Bethany. Jesus offers some teachings about what the kingdom of God is like. It's like the readiness of the bridesmaids. He begins this chapter, chapter 25. Some who have oil in their lamps and some who do not. Some who are ready for the coming of the kingdom and some who are not. Living the life of the kingdom is also like this. Jesus goes on and tells this parable. The parable of a man on a journey. Now, at the start of this parable, we know very little about the man, other than he has slaves and a ridiculous amount of money in the form of talents. The word talent is significant for Matthew. Luke tells a similar story, but he only uses the word pounds, which is about 3 months' wages. Conventional interpretations try to take the word talent and expand it, right, to mean gifts and skills and resources. And that's fine, but for the first century Palestinian audience, Jesus and his disciples, the emphasis here is primarily economic. And a talent, one talent, is equal to 15 years of wages. So think about this in our terms, and just to make some easy math, if your wages equal $50,000 for the year, that first slave receives $3.75 million. And the second, $1.5 million. And that third slave, $250,000. And the only people who have that kind of money are the wealthy elite, those whose households were the basic economic unit of the time. They built their wealth by purchasing more land and more people to be their slaves to run their estates. And so being this wealthy would require a lot of travel back and forth between various estates, you know, before the time of cars and trains and planes. It was common for the head of the household to head out on these long journeys and then trust his highest ranking slaves to be in charge while he's away. And they do the work that they're entrusted to do. They manage the lower ranking slaves, they keep the books, and they collect the debts. They were free to make a little money on the side as long as they attended to the master's interest first. So in Jesus' parable, the first two slaves behave exactly as they are expected to, and they are rewarded accordingly, both the master and the slave benefit from this economic structure. When he does better, they do better, and this was the economic system of the time. So what if Jesus were to stop right there? If that would have been the end of the parable, can you imagine even the dramatic pause that Jesus may have taken and looks at his disciples, and they're processing in their head, okay, what is Jesus trying to say here? We've heard the parables he's offered about God being a landowner, planting vineyards. We've heard the stories about God being a king and offering lavish wedding feasts. Okay, and this for us then is where we get the idea that God in this story is the wealthy man. But after that dramatic pause, Jesus keeps going. I knew, the third slave begins. I knew, Master, you were a harsh man. I knew you reaped where you did not sow. I knew you gathered where you did not scatter seed. And this sounds nothing like the God of Israel who brought God's people into a land flowing with milk and honey, drinking from cisterns they did not dig and reaping harvests that they did not plant. It is so unlike the God who tells harvesters to harvest badly, leave the edges of the wheat, leave the dropped sheaves. Do not strip the vines or completely shake those olive trees, because there are so many who have nothing, and so they can come gather as well. And the way that the third slave talks about the master sounds so unlike the sower that Jesus teaches us about in another parable, who goes out and throws seeds wastefully all over the place, knowing that whatever lands on the good soil will produce beyond one's wildest dream. And so when we take what we know about the placement of this parable in the mission and ministry of Jesus, how can the God made known in Christ, who is days away from giving his life on the cross, not as a substitute or surrogate to be punished in our place, but rather as a testimony of just how far God's love will go to communicate to all of us
God's love for us and all the world, how can that be the man? The third slave knew. And that's a question that a rural community in Nicaragua wondered when they first heard this parable. So back in the 1980s, the Catholic Foreign Missionary Society of America published this amazing commentary series called The Gospel in Salentame. I think I pronounced that right. Salentame is a remote collection of islands in Lake Nicaragua, inhabited by subsistence farmers and fishers who know all too well about wealthy landowners. And in the late 1970s, a Catholic priest named Ernesto Cardenal began gathering the community for worship. And he was pretty revolutionary in the way he shared the gospel message. So rather than standing before them and offering long, boring sermons, he shared the stories of the gospel and then invited the people. I could see how this might make you a little nervous, but he invited them, men and women, young and old, illiterate and educated, to share what they thought. And the result of that was the commentary series that was printed. And when the community first heard the parable that we're talking about this morning, their response was clear. So much so that Father Cardenal tried to argue with them away from their opinion. They told the father, "That's a lousy parable." "Why is it lousy?" the priest wondered. "Because it's about speculating with money, something we all condemn. Like putting money out on interest, giving the money to others so they can work and work with it, and then hand over all the profits to the owner of the money. It's a really ugly example that Jesus gives of exploitation, of speculation with money and pure capitalism." Wow. And they went on to come to terms with this passage by replacing the word talent, or references to money, with love. They made it make sense to them, but that maybe spiritualizing a parable that Jesus told in order to name the injustice happening in their rural peasant community at the time, maybe telling it that way helped them to strengthen their faith in following Jesus, having faith that Jesus' presence was with them in their experiences of knowing what it's like to be that third slave, of knowing what it's like to suffer at the hands of a wealthy landowner. So maybe the good news that Jesus was trying to express about the kingdom of God to his followers and to us has more to do with understanding the world in which we live in order to follow him faithfully, even after we know where it will lead him in a few days. Is it too far of a stretch to then imagine God not as that wealthy man, but as the strength it took for the slave to stand up to him? Is God found in the hope of the third slave, the hope he needs to hang on to so that the weeping and the gnashing of teeth of injustice and sin don't have the last word in his life? And might God be the light shining in the darkness of the world that he experiences. I admit these questions don't have the same palatability as your traditional stewardship sermon. But you know, here at Gates Presbyterian Church, we talk about following Jesus and loving our neighbors. And when we do, we believe that it means following him into expressions of the kingdom that aren't always the most comfortable for us. For example, some of us this week are taking the SNAP food stamp challenge. And we're doing this as a way of moving outside our familiar comfort zones. And by doing so, we're learning about the challenges that so many families and individuals face when making difficult food shopping choices with very limited resources. And while living on a food stamp budget for a week, can't come close to the struggles encountered by low-income families week after week, month after month. It does provide those of us who are taking the challenge to have a new perspective, hopefully some greater understanding. And next Sunday during second hour, we'll share those experiences. And even if you don't take the food stamp challenge this week, for whatever reason, that's okay. You've been encouraged to bring your grocery receipt for the week and come and talk to us. Let us share and let us learn from one another about what this week has been like. This is just one example. There are so many different ways that we as a community of faith commit to following Jesus. And when we see the world from his perspective, and we love our neighbors as God loves, when it comes to stewardship, it means giving of ourselves. It does mean giving our time, our talent, our financial resources to support a vision of mission and ministry where there are opportunities for all ages to come together in worship, to practice hospitality, to grow in our spirituality, and to engage in mission. Stewardship is our opportunity to follow Jesus and participate in a community that acts as the body of Christ in service to God's call for love and justice, especially where there is darkness, pain, and sorrow in this world. May it be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you. We now come into a time to share the joys in our lives as well as the fears and the worries that people were lifting up in prayer and celebration and in concern. So are there things that people would like to share today?
Ruth Frady, I would like to thank everyone for the many cards I've received and the calls on the phone and the last couple of weeks with my broken arm and all the prayers. I'm sure they're helping and everything is healing well so far, so just keep on going. But again, thanks for the prayers.
David Keeling, as most of you know, a year and a half ago, my grandfather, he suffered a stroke and right off the bat, they were saying that, you know, he probably wasn't going to walk again and driving was going to be impossible for him. But on Tuesday, we went over to Tim's Trim. We got him a spinner, and he started to drive again. It was just amazing to see that through the support of everyone here and all the prayers, and obviously through God, he was able to do it again when they said that he was not going to be able to get back on the road. And it was amazing to see. And on Veterans Day, it was really special.
Dorette Crossdale. About 3 weeks ago, my manager's 18-year-old daughter was diagnosed with liver cancer with metastasis to the pancreas. Friday, she underwent surgery at Sloan, and they got all the cancer from the liver, and it was never in the pancreas. So continued prayers for her recovery and support for the family.
Jeannie Bauman. I'd like to ask for prayers. My son's girlfriend, Kelly, diagnosed this week with Lyme disease.
Good morning. Barb Snaith. I actually have three things. I'd like to ask for prayers for the O'Keefes, Wendy and Ralph O'Keefe. Earlier this week, Ralph went into hospice care, and Wendy really needs prayers for strength to help her through this period. My second prayer would be for a coworker's mom who is 92 and diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. She's dealing with that because she's the only child and they live together. So I ask for prayers for Catherine's mom. And a joy for my family, my sister Linda's son, Matthew, got engaged. Those that may have known Matthew, he's getting married next October, so I'm very excited about that. Thanks.
Good morning, Todd Pym. A real close family friend and a former co-worker of Heather's, her mom is in hospice, so she needs our prayers. Thank you.
I have a couple of things. First of all, Irene and I are so happy to have our daughter Trina and our granddaughter Elena visiting for a long weekend, and it's also Trina's birthday today. I won't tell you the age, because that makes me sound older, but secondly, just a reminder that everyone here is invited to the Presbytery meeting at Batavia Presbyterian Church on Tuesday, and our very own Omar Rushan will be examined to become a candidate for ministry. And also our Guatemala partners will be presenting a program about the grant that we recently won.
Linda Sidori, my daughter called yesterday and asked for prayers. My grandson's one of the children at his daycare center. The little girl just turned 3. She's been treated for cancer and now has gone. Things aren't going well right now, so their family needs lots of prayers.
Many of them had the opportunity to see a variety of plays this weekend and are very grateful for that chance. And prayers of joy for grandparents who share what they have with them. And prayers for fun times at Sky Zone and all the many places they get to go. And prayers for quizzes at school and report cards that are coming out this week. Lots of prayers for those, and also prayers for school play auditions coming up. Our kids are doing so many great things, and they enjoy your prayers, and also prayers for Marie Belknap, who's been at Unity this week. So continued prayers for his healing.
Let's pray together. Gracious and loving God, we celebrate that no matter where we are, no matter what we do, you are always with us, and your love always strengthens us. God, we ask for your comfort and your peace in hard times, that you shine your light down on us, that you remind us of your love. Yes, you are with the sick to ease their pain, to speed their healing, that you are with the caretakers to give them wisdom and courage as they work to care for the people they love, that you are with the grieving and the worried. You may ease their fears and give them comfort in hard times. There may not be easy answers. God, we ask all of these things in thanksgiving for the gifts in our lives, the places where you have blessed us in so many different ways, some we take for granted, some we are just beginning to discover, and some that are the foundation of our very beings. We give you thanks for all of the gracious things you have given us, all of the people you have brought into our lives to shine love and enrich who we are, for all of the times that we can have comfort and know peace, safe in your embrace. God, we ask all of these things, and we lift up all of these joys, praying always the way that your Son taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And friends, our prayers continue. Our stewardship pledges are just that, a prayer of commitment to God. How is it that you are called to follow Jesus into this world as part of this community of faith? Some of you have pledge cards, and you are invited to place those into the offering plates. It's okay if you don't. In the time that the music plays and the offering is taken, use that time to offer a prayer of dedication of how you plan to serve God with your life. Let us celebrate in prayer this morning with our morning offering.
Lord, you have called us children of the light. May our gifts of time, talent, and money build a light here in GPC that is so bright we are all enabled to take it outside of these walls and show our love of you and our neighbors in a hurting world. Amen.
Friends, we proclaim that we are a joyful community empowered by the Holy Spirit, and we worship God, we follow Jesus, and we love our neighbors. And we don't just do that when we're gathered here. We go out from this place to be the body of Christ as God has called us to. So go. Go with the love of God that shines in the midst of all darkness. Go with the grace of Christ, and of course, the courage needed from the Holy Spirit to continue out and love our neighbors in all that we say and do. Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.